It's good to be here. Firstly, did anybody get a shot when that little Georgia girl cut loose? Like, she was singing all soft and pretty. It was really good. And then this little bite-sized girl went,
that just blessed me.
She's got quite a voice. And I enjoyed this whole weekend. I don't know if you noticed, but I came on Friday just to hang out, and I wanted to catch the heart of what was going on here. I didn't want to come and just pour out my heart. I always have something in my heart. It would be easy to come pour out my heart, but I wanted to compliment the vision here and just help solidify the things that God was saying through the other speakers. So I was really touched. I was really blessed Friday. I got here a little late. I had to change my flight. They weren't going to get me here. There was a problem with maintenance. They put me on another airline and got me here on Friday. Well, I was glad about that. It's because I caught Mike on Friday night. And wasn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It was just so clear. And I tell you, it was so solid because he's like a million miles away from just the gospel that blesses you and makes you feel good, right? He's emphasizing it over and over. And I'm like, I really like this is because it's the revelation that's been in my heart since I've been saved. Like I never, from the night I got saved, the Lord came and actually saved me personally at work. It was quite an experience. But I never got saved for me. I didn't get saved to go to heaven. I didn't get saved for blessing. I didn't get saved so my marriage got fixed. I got right with God so that I could get to know Him and become what He created me to be. I wanted to be the very thing I was here for. And then we can miss that so easy. Like your motive can be your Christian for so many different reasons. And when Mike was preaching, I'm like, brilliant, this is awesome. I don't know if you heard him towards the end, but he stood here and said, you're going to have such revelation in this kingdom and the times that are coming to be so positioned that even in the face of loss and calamity, you don't budge. Well, I'll be honest, as a pastor for a long time, that's not normal, but it is in the kingdom. You're not to budge. But a lot of us live from circumstance to circumstance. We're only doing as good as it's going. And then we're meeting prayer and hoping that thing changes, and until it does, we're a little bit troubled. Oh, you're awful deep. You're just excited, obviously. You're not a Christian for you. You're a Christian for His great name. You're a Christian for the kingdom of God. He lives in you. You represent the King of Glory, Christ in you. Christ in you.
Yes, yes.
The hope of glory. The word glory. Any manifestation of who God is, any made, seen, realized attribute of the person of God is the glory of God revealed. So Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and being known. Amen. In you.
Yeah.
Like you're the roster of heaven. You're the best He's got. Really, that's not hype. That blood was paid. The Son of God's blood to put His life in you. Like He died to put His life inside of you.
Yes.
He didn't die to forgive you and take you to heaven. That's what we preach all over the world. He died to put heaven back inside of you. He died to bless your baskets and stuff. He died to put new life in you, new perspective, new reason for being, new creation reality, new life through Jesus Christ. You died to the old. You died to the old man. You put him off at his deeds. And you put on trust. You put on new life. Amen?
Yeah.
So when he's talking about trouble and calamity, Jesus is amazing. Like, I don't know why Jeremiah said to me, he said, there's so many things we're not preaching. And then we get in this camp thing that Mike talked about. And he made the camps almost out. He was like, if you were a camp minded, you would be like, ooh, I don't think that. Because he didn't say it mean. He said it so truthful, so sharp. It was like, God, you're so wise. Like he said, you know, you're part of this, this. You identify with what you're a part of. Instead of identify with the one that's inside.
Woo, come on.
That's a bigger deal. Now, I don't know what I am. People try to label me. Nobody seems to be able to label me. I don't know why. I guess because I don't think of, and I'm not a certain together, you get a river.
That's right.
You get two streams together, you get a bigger flow. Then it goes down 50 miles and hits another branch, and now it's a river. He's a river.
That's right. Come on.
There's a river inside me. There's a river inside you. And I know that just sounds kind of technical, but it's true. You don't want to limit yourself and say, well, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. No, it's Christ in you.
Yes.
And I'm just promising you, when Mark was talking about it, and I didn't jump and shout, I wanted to. I just was like, oh, this is so solid. Like, he's telling you as a father. He's telling you as a voice. He's saying, there's going to be some serious things, and not everybody's going to love Jesus. And it's going to get really dark, but hey, the light's on you, and you can make a decision what you're going to yield to, who you're going to give yourself to, what you're going to believe, and the why behind your life, and you're going to let the gospel or life decide you. You can at last speak out the truth. Well, I've been in it too good. It's just really been this and this. And it's been a tough season, brother. And I just keep needing prayer. You don't even need prayer. You need truth.
Yeah.
Prayer. You don't start thinking different than ever be any different. Well, that's good. The same.
That's good.
You don't need people to change. Are you kidding me? Stop. Pray, God, man, I wish my boss would change. I enjoy going to work. God, you rock it. We're not praying for our boss to change. We're becoming more like Jesus, so we see our boss through his eyes. Come on, I don't know about you, but I'm going to challenge you tonight because I heard three messages since I've been here. And they were intense, awesome messages, and I was excited to come up here. I felt like I had the easiest place of all. I felt like cleanup matter, kind of coming in here and just going, bam, putting the stamp on. Three messages I heard. You know, I heard Mike talk about this, and then Jeremiah gets up here and he says, you know, about holiness, and it's not just about all this, woo, and bless me, and gifting, and all this stuff, man. And he said, it's not cool to pray for the sick, and then, or lay hands on somebody, and then have your hands on your girlfriend. Yeah. I mean, let's stop for a minute and just talk straight. Because you're a sin duck. Satan will just squeeze you in a trial. Little people button, and now you're falling apart, but you're gifted.
Yeah.
Come on, say it everywhere I go. Say it on. The Lord said it to me in my bed one morning, so I say it to everybody. We're here to see you shout from the rooftop. I am here. I say it. So you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. You guys know that in Florida. It would be a weird to squeeze an orange to get apple juice. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? That should be weird. Like, that should be weird. Why should it be weird? Because we denied ourselves. We don't love our own life unto death. We don't think for ourselves. We think for the kingdom.
Come on.
So it's not about who's doing what to me, it's about who did what in me.
Yeah.
He changed my view, my perspective. I mean, all due respect, these guys, this worship was awesome. Tonight was awesome. They prayed Matt. It was Matt. Yeah, it was Matt. He prayed for healing and people with broken hearts. I'm not correcting him one bit if he's listening. He did right. He did good. Because Jesus, who knows if your heart is troubled or you've been through some stuff, who knows Jesus can bring on you, calm you, and put you back in a peaceful place, right? Let me take you a step deeper. If he can change your perspective and teach you that you don't have to have your heart broken, you wouldn't always need a mend. Because if you don't get a new perspective, your heart's going to keep getting broken, and you're going to actually allow things and people and circumstances to have the upper hand in your life the whole time you're saying Jesus is Lord, then life is dictating you. And governing you.
Preach
it. All of a sudden, you're only as good as people are treating you. Are you kidding me? Jesus shed his blood on the cross and put his life inside of you. You've been treated ridiculously good.
Right.
Like the Bible says, nobody else you would think. You don't know that anything but to love. You've been loved ridiculously, and you become ridiculous love.
Yeah.
Or you want to receive this selfishly and get something from him that you're not willing to become. gospel is not you and I being loved by God. That's where you start. The goal of the gospel is you and I becoming that love.
Whoa. Ooh, that's good.
The cross is not fulfilled and paid in full when a man believes on Jesus. It's when his nature is restored back to love.
Yeah.
And when he walks in heart and image of God. Yeah. It's called the glory of his inheritance.
Amen.
In the saints.
Amen.
Not your inheritance, his. He paid
that's good.
An amazing deposit in the earth called the blood of his son.
Awesome.
And he put that deposit into the bank of the earth. And that deposit is bringing dividends. ECF.
That is powerful.
One son for many sons. Yeah?
Oh, that's so good.
It's not a confession. Sonship's not a confession. Sonship's an expression.
Mm-hmm.
Sonship's not a confession. There's a big confession. We have learned language. We have Christianese like we have Spanish and English.
Yeah.
Look, Carlos, he knows Spanish for sure. I don't. Right? But he could sit me down and teach me the language, and in time I could learn the language, words, syllables. But it don't matter how much I speak Spanish, I'll never be Spanish.
Wow.
Speaking the language doesn't make you that thing.
Good.
It's just true. That's not me. That's true. And we got this language of sonship. No matter what, that I'm a son, we say sonship, Sonship's an expression. He said, Jesus, the Lord, the King. Didn't you just love Mike? Mike couldn't even. Mike was just like, he's here. And he couldn't even preach it up. He's like, that's just what he's here. I like this guy a lot. I just like that. That's how I live. I wake up in the morning, he's in me. Like, he'll never leave me.
Tonight, he's going to be with me that bed that he gave me. Like, there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Like, I'm the only one that can mess that up. You can hate me, you can write anything you want about me, you cannot keep me from him. I'm going to hear his voice tonight. I'm going to wake up. He's going to be inside of me. Like Stephen Bickman from his home. So we dealt with the problem and moved back in. And he just didn't understand it. But I like it. A whole lot. But I'm not a Christian for blessing. I'm not a Christian for any other reason than I won't be what he created me for and what he paid for. I promise you, I'm not interested. Blessed Jesus said ridiculous, crazy stuff like fun, amazing stuff. And you look at it and go, wow, you are such a teacher. He said, unless you love less, you love pretty important. Your father, your spouse, your children, your houses and your land. And yes, even your own life, unless you love less that intimateness, you'll by no means, be my disciple. That means fulfill what I created you for. You will by no means be a wholehearted follower and a disciplined learner. You will be moved by that list.
Mm.
Now watch this. Most people in this country are Christians for the sake of that list.
Right.
Wow.
And he said, unless you love it less, you'll never fulfill what I'm inside.
Come on.
That's why people lose a loved one and they backslide. They don't pray anymore. They get hurt and angry. They think they're going to be mad at God that day in heaven. It's totally deceived by hurt and pain and human empathy and stuff like that. I love what my preacher, she's dead on. You can stand in the face of loss or calamity and not be destroyed or moved away by it. Physical loss is real. We're not saying it's not. It is. Yes, it is. I have experienced it. But physical loss never changes the truth.
Amen.
Guys, do you get this? We're pilgrims. We're pastors.
Yeah, that's good. Come on, yes.
We're seeking a home.
Remind us, Lord.
We're not Christians to get God.
Yes.
The gospel's not a survival kit.
Come on.
It's the answer for a transformed life.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you guys already so happy that I'm here?
Yes.
Because even as the order, I got to say it like I see it.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm sorry. I want to be your friend, but I'm not here to make friends, but I still want to be your friend. Oh, I praise God. Help us, Jesus. I just love the messages. So, yeah. This is. Oh, believe me, it's not that I don't know what to say. I just want to be right. There's a lot in my heart right now. And I just slow it down, actually. When we look at Jesus' life like IHOP, worship, and prayer, it's amazing. When I heard Mike's heart preaching, it's deeper than that. It's becoming something.
Yes.
It's laying down something.
That's
to
right.
Become something.
That's right.
So the whole message is in IHOP's vision. It's right? Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't say, sing to me, pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. Mm-hmm. And I heard in Mike's message, follow me. Did you?
Absolutely.
So fun.
Yeah.
Because so many times we just get a piece of the gospel. Worship is amazing. Prayer is incredible. Pray also. You shall not pray, especially those in authority. Prayer is amazing. But Jesus said, follow me. You can identify through worship, you can identify through prayer, and never follow Him. Mm-hmm. You can let church attendance, what you're a part of, ministry, service in the body, you can let all those things take the place of knowing Him. And only knowing Him will transform you. If you don't establish what Mike was talking about, and it's the answer to what Jeremiah was talking about, and the fruit of that is what Mike was talking about,
then it's all like, yeah, I'm glad I'm here.
Like, I can't mess this up. He came to restore us back to what it is we were created to be from the beginning. The word redemption means brought back, bought back to original value.
Wow.
God didn't just make man. He made man with intention. God's not like just, He is so full of life. So I'm not saying He's not. So don't write me a letter. I'm not saying that. He's not so full of life that He was like messing around one day in the earth and He sneezed and got all some dirt and a man popped in his head. Like, oh, I gotta watch where I see. What a nation! It's intimate, it's personal, it's intentional. Let us make man in our image, in our own likeness. Let's give dominion over the work of our hands. The next verse, it says, so God created man. So who created man?
God.
In His own likeness, in His own image. Watch this, ladies. It's awesome. Both male and
female.
So what's a woman's highest created value? His image. It's the reason you're here, to be found in Him.
And to have Him found in you.
You're not here to serve the man. You're here to be like Him.
Ooh, that's good, yes.
It's in your Bible.
Yes.
You're on my voice speech, I'm so passionate about it. It's in your Bible. Can't believe I pulled that off the second time when I tried it. Man and women, both male and female, in His. Okay. So the day Adam eats the tree is the day he surely dies. But we know when he ate the tree, he didn't die. So something died, because God said. What died? The image. Everybody says he died spiritually. You don't even know what that means. It just sounds spiritual.
Yeah.
You said, well, what died? He didn't follow in his spirit. Well, think about it. The life that was in him was lost. What he was created to be was lost through sin, and it separated him from God. Now watch this. Let us make man in our image. God is love. I understand his glory, power, majesty, but when you think of God, you think God is. The Bible says God is
love.
It didn't say for God was so majestic that he sent his only son.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah? And he's certainly not talking about a head, eyes, ears, and nose, the word image, because he's spirit. God's spirit.
Right.
Here's what God did. God made man like him. God made man to love.
Right.
When Adam got cut off from the source of love, he became in need of love. And every one of us were born into that lie, into Adam, and you must be born. And we turn born again into a prayer that benefits me instead of transforms me. And that's why there's discouraged Christians that go to church. Because they honestly think life's still all about them. And they're using the gospel to get through their troubles, and that's why there's still trouble. Because the eye's the lamp of the body. And if the eye's single, the whole body's flooded with light. It doesn't say unless your spouse just left, unless you just had a car wreck, unless you just got laid off, unless the whole world's going crazy around you. No, no, no. If you see clear, you live clear. You don't just overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You love not your own life unto death. And most of the time we're holding on to that thing. We're Christians to get by. We're Christians for our sake. We're Christians to make it. We're Christians for protection. We're Christians so we don't get judged. And it's a dead giveaway, your motive, in how you respond through life. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So in all you're getting, you get understanding. So I'm not saying it's evil intended. I'm not saying you're doing it willfully. I don't think we realize. I'm not talking to the rooms of hypocrites when I travel. You're not hypocrites. Are you kidding me? You love Jesus.
Amen.
And I know that. And that's why we're in this war. Because you're made for his image. And the enemy is fighting against the kingdom of God. You get to fight on behalf of the kingdom. If you take adversity personally, you're going to make a major mistake. He's trying to stop the kingdom. You're the only tool he has. He can't go into heaven and fight.
Come on.
He can't go into the throne room and knock God off the throne. I don't care how much he strategizes. He's not going in to heaven and defeating God. And he knows that, so he's sure he can defeat you. He'll just keep you from ever being like him. He might even let you go to church and serve in a ministry. He might encourage you to lift both hands and believe that's your relationship. He might not be threatened by Christians going to church at all. He might entice it at times.
Right.
Because it's a dangerous point in your life. Because if you let what you do for him or in his name take the place of knowing him, it'll be way backwards and ugly in the end. He's not impressed with our church attendance. He's impressed when you make peace. He's impressed when you walk in forgiveness. He's impressed when you absolutely live in a touchable and effectual because you realize nobody owes you a thing because he gave you the kingdom and you live this way. But if you're still tricking and trying to find your value through one another and your acceptance through one another, no wonder people are insecure and self-conscious and self-focused and fearful of men. No wonder people are hurt and backwards and low esteem and broken identities. Because we're trying to find ourselves through one another, and you can only find yourself through him.
Amen.
Let me throw a couple things out. Are you guys on page with me?
You're okay?
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Look, here's the roll out. When I say I'm always going to roll out, is I'm jumping on a plane tomorrow. I'm going to have the time of my life. I'm going to live Jesus. point he can stop the train rolling. Look, even if you shoot me in the head on the way to the airport, I am not going to die. Ah! You know, people get riled up on the gospel. Sometimes Christians even do. You know, they think they say they're the watchman on the wall, so they turn into opinionated and critical. You know, I was in the service years ago, and there was apparently a concern, and there was threats, and somebody said that apparently my life was threatened. It's the silliest thing. You can't affect my life. It's the silliest thing. So the undercover policeman came and sat all around me at the end of the conference, and I didn't know what was going on. I knew it was weird. I was like, God leans over, hey, I'm Officer So-and-So. These guys are with me, they're all officers. I said, yeah, I thought something like that was going on because it was just too obvious to me. He said, yeah. I said, well, what's going on? He said, well, there's threats and concerns. We're here to assure your safety and get you out of here well. And I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, actually, we have reason to believe your life's at risk. And I'm like, I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. And I said, listen, as much as I respect you and honor you, man, you're in the book of Romans. I can find what you do in the Bible. I said, but this is the wrong setting. This isn't for you. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, it's intimidation. It's sweat. My life's not home. If you don't face it, you'll run from it the rest of your life. I'm not sneaking out back doors last night. I've got a month coming over my shoulder. Our future, I'm not lost life, I'm his. So I strongly disagree. He's an officer. These security guys, I don't understand how they feel because they do what they do. But in that situation, I'm going to talk to them. I said, you're not going to do that. I said, there's absolutely no way. Here's what you have to do. You have to face these conditions, friends. I said, so here's what we're going to do. You're going to do nothing. You're going to dismantle and defuse and act like this never happened. And then we're going to let it unfold, and if they say they're going to kill me, let's just see if they can. Now see, I was in those shoes, not you. So when I say I'm not afraid to die, I actually was in that position where I had a chance to respond and didn't even blink. Peter said, I'll die for you, and when he was given a chance, he denied him three times. I've been preaching for years, and I don't believe I have the fear of death, and when I was put in a position where there was threats, I didn't want enough, I don't want to let it unfold, let it play out, because in my heart, I don't believe nobody's going to kill me, I've way too much to do, I'm running this race, I'm on point with God, and anyone found out which is going to take me out of the silence. I just have nothing in it. And I'm one of those secrets, I ain't gathering around the scenes, I ain't only myself as a target, I'm a shooting field. Keep myself in him. He comes, the ruler of this world cometh, and Jesus said, he has nothing in me, and if I'm following him, I can live that way. And I'm just not afraid. Don't let that bother you. Grow into that. We're not afraid of death. We don't fear death. Read Hebrews 2. We don't fear death. We'll rise death, our motivation in prayer all the time. So human sentiment, emotion, we call it faith. And our family member or friend dies, we get offended at the gospel, backpedal, change our theology through experiences, instead of lock in what we believe through his life and his word. And even if we didn't see it in our life, at some point we have to honor his life above ours. Yeah. So I think maybe Jesus had a little better revelation than we have right now. Do you think? Are you guys okay? Okay. I'm just gonna wrap this thing up like this. Like, I mean, think about this, the honor of this. Like, Satan says, I'm gonna rise to the highest place. I'm gonna sit in the highest place. And I'm gonna be God. You guys know who said that?
Yes.
I'm gonna establish my throne there and I'm gonna be God. And God will. Shouldn't have probably ever said that, right? So can he go knock God off his throne or make the throne higher than God? Not a chance. So where's the highest place of you and me? Where's your highest place?
Mine.
He's determined to make his throne there.
Ooh.
And be God from there.
Wow, wow.
He loves when you live in fear. He's me. Because you're still living your own life. You couldn't live in fear if you weren't living your own life. You have nothing to fear. That's why perfect love is out of fear. It doesn't mean God's perfect love always to you. It's you become a perfect love. How could you be discouraged if you weren't thinking for yourself? How could you be offended, hurt, brokenhearted, if it wasn't about you? The ruler of this world cometh and has nothing in me. In me. Wow. So rather than take on his blessing and take on his gifting, we ought to take on his image, his heart, his nature, his love. Because wonder if all the things he does flows out of who he is.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction, the purpose of the command. We just did a whole weekend, guys. You said how many speaker sessions break out? The goal of our instruction, the whole point, the whole destination, the whole goal of all the instruction is love. He's not talking about God loving us. He's talking about us becoming love. So here's what happened. Adam is created to love. He gets cut off from the source of love and becomes in need of love. We're all born into Adam, born into that lie. So everybody in this room, from the time you can remember, you needed valued, you needed encouraged, you needed somebody to say something nice. You were trying to find yourself along the way at a very young age. You were being tricked into believing things about yourself based on life. And at a very young age, you were nothing more than a product of how you responded to how it all went down. Why? Because we were all born into a lie. So if we were born into a lie, we were trained by a lie. The wisdom behind the lie is a lie. Come on. Every man for himself. And before the tree, every man's love, and love is selfless. This is why Jesus never said, if any man come after me, make sure he prays a prayer before he leaves the service in case he hits a tree on the way home. That's our evangelistic appeal. If you know where you're going tonight, pray. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say pray a prayer to get your name in a book called life. He said, if any man come after me, let him first do this first thing. Deny himself. It's not some legalistic, rigid thing. It's you realizing, wow, I was never made for me.
Amen.
The motive of self is what allows pain and hurt and fear and anxiety and despair and discouragement.
Yes.
This is what I believe. I believe the number one problem on the planet, in the world and the church, is in politics, it's not ISIS, it's not economy. It's men living every day for themselves when they're created for his image.
So true.
Number one problem. And where it gets intense in the churches that all of a sudden we preach messages that cater to us and favor us and give us our blessing, our breakthrough, and our full baths and our full forms. And now we're discouraged if we get it. And all our faith and all our prayers are wrapped around what we get from him instead of what we become because of
him. Man.
Preach that.
Man.
Now you've got discouraged people going to church that are sincere and see their need for a Savior and understand they sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they miss the whole point of why he's inside of you. He's not inside of you to forgive you and you to go to heaven someday. He's inside of you so you can shine and bear witness of his image and walk in the light as he's in the light.
Yeah.
Remember I said a while ago that sonship's not a confession? He said in Matthew 5, 6 times, you say what I say. You say what I say. You say what I say. So on the sixth time,
I guess we can get this, Carlos. He's, you ain't saying what I'm saying. So you grew up with a wisdom that's not his language.
Nobody had to teach you to be angry. It came by the fall of man. It came by your instinct. It came out of the wellspring of you living for yourself. You didn't have to study and crash the books to be angry. He didn't tell you to manage anger. He said, put it off.
Right.
He didn't tell you to manage fornication and immorality and lust and evil desires. He said, put them to death.
Right.
Come on. So good.
I might get them too far down.
No, you're good.
I got to get close to somebody.
Fire him up!
I'll come back up. Well, this thing is real. And honestly, if you're getting a tough attitude about what I'm saying, and all you can do is sit there and figure out if you like me, you're in deep trouble. That's a warning shot. Because even if I'm wrong, you should hurt for me.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at me. You're a dead giveaway. You don't know Jesus, but you're in the conference. Like, if you're offended at me, you're testifying to your own heart. You don't know him. You sing about me. You play songs that sing about him. You read things that talk about him, but you don't know him. You see, that's too weird. No. It's gospel. It's 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. That means kind and endure towards one another. That means don't seek your own. Take no account of the wrong done to you. Well, if we understood love, why are we so busted up? And why do we need so much prayer? Because of people issues. We're testifying against ourselves that we don't know him. But we're saying we're looking for an encounter. Your encounter is to give up the right to your own life because it was never yours in the first place. It doesn't cost you so much.
It all costs you everything. Every son of your...
What's it cost you? All he's asking you to give is what you never were anyway. Just give back the lie so the truth can come on you.
Woo! Death for where your life's been, and you put off everything that's on the left. And in verse 10 of Colossians 3, he says, put on the new man.
Yes, Lord.
And guess who he is? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
Hallelujah.
You see what Christianity is? Becoming Christ-like. Christianity is not church attendance.
Yep.
Right.
It's Christ's. You let church attendance take the place of knowing him. You let your ministry badge identify you. You let the service you're doing in his name take the place of knowing. The Bible says, 1 John 4, 7, 8, beloved, let us love one another. Why? Some people bother me. So you can't tell me they don't get on your nerves. No, you're supposed to get new nerves. Because they bother you. That makes you God. That means your preference is number one. So if their disposition doesn't suit you, God, change them. Come on, that's whack. You're not on that throne.
Come on.
Wonder if God saw you that way. Wonder if God legitimately looked at you and said, man, they bother me. You're hopeless. You're done. You're toast. That's how you know it's not okay to be that way towards others, because he'd never be that way towards you. So if you can't find the way you're thinking, feeling, and believing in his life, then you shouldn't find it in yours. Because you're created for his image, and the Christ in you is the hope of glory. So if you can't find your language, if you take your language and your motives and your perceptions and put them in his mouth, and they sound foolish, they should sound just as foolish in your mouth because you're made for his image.
Amen.
I'll be one with you, church. Come on, let's be careful.
Yes.
That we don't learn how to do church and fail to become
mom.
That's good.
Because I assure you this, tomorrow on Sunday, you can fill every seat in every church all across this nation And that alone will never change the earth.
Yeah. That's right.
That's true. But you become love, and it will.
Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God.
Watch, and everyone. There's no exceptions. The Bible's amazing. Everyone who loveth, born of God and knows God. He who loveth not, just doesn't know God. He didn't say, you know, Pastor. He didn't say, you don't go on a mission trip now and then. He didn't say, you don't get up and go to church on Sunday. He said, if you don't love, if you don't live selfless and not take account of suffered wrongs and make peace and show mercy, you're revealing to your own heart that you don't know Him, you just know about Him. But He has an impact with your life. You haven't experienced what Mike talked about last year. And the whole simple way to get here is be a simple, sincere yes.
I want to die to myself to live in Him. I want a sincere yes in my heart.
Your yes is what empowers you on the journey to become in love. You have to be willing. You can't say, well, you're telling me there's somebody and I'm supposed to just. Well, I ain't going to be nobody's doormat, man. I don't need to know. Was Jesus a doormat? Was He weakness? He's the living epistle of love. He said, you say what I said. He said, you say love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemy. That would end all counseling appointments right there. Because these new things around me is flesh and blood.
Whoa, yeah.
Your enemy's not flesh and blood. Who's the pastor here? Honestly, we don't be afraid. I'm not going to set you up. Okay, I got to put your hands. I need to see head nods. If I'm telling the truth, you need to go like this. 90-some% of your counsel is people trouble. And people being affected by people. Is that true?
Yes.
Who says that's true, sir, pastor? Look around, guys. It's a testimony against us that we've been taught by the fall of man and we think it's wisdom and we incorporated new life into old wisdom. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. He said, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. How? Trying hard, praying longer, fasting more, by the renewing of your mind. Look it up. It means thinking like you've never thought before. Well, now I never thought outside myself before. Look, you were angry before you knew a language. you could barely talk. Like, copy. You just have two of them sitting on the floor. They just play, mom just sip your tea, talk about Jesus. I mean, we love Jesus. And the two little ones say, I want to be a person.
Me.
You didn't learn that. The student was sitting there playing. There's a plastic toy that was boarding laying on the floor. They're playing with the cool stuff. And all of a sudden, this one on the right gets tired of the cool thing and thought, you know, I think I'll pick up this boring thing and at least just look at it, you know? And as soon as their little hand touches it, the one on the left has no interest till they touch it.
Yeah.
So these are tiny little can't talk. And they go, drop their toy immediately and grab the other end. You ever see anything like this?
Yeah.
And now there's this all-out infant war.
Yeah.
Poof. Where'd they learn that? Who taught them? The mamas are amazing. They didn't get it from mama. They got it from Adam. Came through mama. But it started with Adam, and it was every man for himself. One minute God's image, second minute we're all flesh. Man didn't just sin in the garden.
Oh, man, so good.
He took on the nature of God's enemy. And
that
became
is so
like
good,
the
man.
That's why it says if you love the world and the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in you, and you set yourself up as enmity to God. Watch this. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You got it to be scattered. We think we either prayed a prayer or we didn't. You can totally sincerely see your need for a Savior. Recognize your need for forgiveness, cry out with sincerity, and maintain attitudes that are detrimental to what he's trying to accomplish on the earth. And live in perspectives that are binding to what he's wanting to do, and all of a sudden you're working against him, not for him. And it's not evil, it's deceived.
Yes.
Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Come on, this stuff is so important. Like, if I can't find it in his life, love. You look at love. The goal of instruction is love. He says, brothers, he says, be imitators of God, Ephesians 5:1, as dear children, and walk in love just as Jesus loved, who gave himself a fragrant, sweet, fragrant offering unto God. He says, you be an imitator of his life. You let his life be your model. And if you can't see it in him, don't let it be found in you. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Come on, it's so important. Oh. He says, learn of me. He said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. He said, he's firstborn among many brethren. You're the many brethren.
Yes,
you're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He said, as he is, so are we in the world. You need any more scripture? He sees us as one.
Amen.
So we're going to walk in the light as, listen guys, I believe in prayer. I pray in intercession. My cousin knows this. We don't even know each other. But when I first got saved in a pastor, I met intercession. I cleaned so much from what he was doing. I didn't open a house of prayer. I didn't do all that. But I cleaned so much out of the heart of prayer. Lou Engel. I mean, he's been doing this for years. Him and I see his passion in his heart, and all these years later, he hasn't calmed down.
That's right.
Why? They believe what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I gleaned a lot of things. I understand prayer. I appreciate prayer. But I promise you, it's more than you and I just interceding, crying out to the nations. We are the blessing to the nation.
We are
the ones that are called to shine.
Yeah.
Like what could you do to come against all this stuff, people praying, all this stuff, and then leave the prayer setting and have the same attitudes that you find in the enemy?
Yeah.
You bind and rebuke it, and you're coming against principalities, and you're mapping out things, and you're coming against this spirit and this generational. And then you leave, and you got issues in your heart.
Yeah.
James 3:13. Yeah, I'm about ready to. I'm just going to start now preaching.
I see a handful leave. I don't think. I
hope they ain't running out of the message. But I figure you don't leave when I'm preaching. It's just too good. But they might have not thought that. But if you can stay, because we're about to sing up. Yeah. You guys are getting this, right?
Can you tell them how bad it is? Like, I didn't fly to the One Thing conference to correct you. I came here to tell you who you are.
Yes. True.
Like to say, this is what he paid for.
Yes.
Like until you start living free from yourself, you'll never understand freedom. Right. Freedom isn't feeling better in that moment. Because if you don't change what you believe, you'll need to feel better again. You don't need as much prayer as you think. You need truth. Truth makes you free. Hey, brother, I've been thinking this for a while. You need to pray that off me. I just need you to pray this off me. We're ministry crazed if we're not careful. Does everybody just want ministry? And what is prayer? What about truth making you free? It doesn't say ministry will make you free, prayer will make you free.
Yeah.
Continuing in truth till your heart goes, freedom. Like, you'll never, ever be able to talk me out of the fact that I'm worthy to God. You'll never be able to talk me out of the fact that I'm righteous in His sight and accepted in the beloved. That He'll never leave me, never forsake me. It doesn't matter how I feel, it's truth to me. And it's the stronghold of the Lord in my life. And watch this. Here's what the gospel taught me. And if I could pass this on to you, it was worth the flight already. Just coming. Just hearing Mike's heart on Friday. And I was blessed because I don't hear that tone a lot. And then Jeremiah, when's the last time you heard this message? This message. And I'm thinking, well, I think it's pretty intense. But, I just thought, well. And he said, I never heard you preach. And I said, okay, because I preach transformation.
Yes, you do.
I'm not just preaching you, I love you. And then the other camp goes, he judges too, and the pendulum goes. And then the other cat says, no, he really loves you. And Jesus is right here going, hey, God! And then all of a sudden, somebody in a camp that everybody respects and sees and speaks out of turn and comes against the grace movement. And then a new believer hears a preacher say the word grace. Red flags! Well, if you got a red flag in the word grace, you can't even read your Bible! You're saved by grace! Truthfully, if you are what you are by the grace of God. He gives grace for grace. We can help him in grace and truth.
So refreshing.
Here's the deal. Grace is not an empowerment to stay the same. Grace is a tool to bring change. So here's real simple. You don't have to get in the pendulum thing. That is tiresome. That does damage to your heart. You start resenting each other, and it's all in the name of the Lord, and now it's who's right and who's wrong. And what do you think? Jesus is going to come back, and we're all going to be there, and some group's going to be yelling to everybody else, told you so! Or he's going up with us, and the other group's on the ground. I thought it was us! You're wrong! Why did I believe you?
That's great.
Listen, if I failed to allow my relationship with Him and my time spent with Him with the purpose of becoming one with His heart and His love becoming my revelation and expression, then I've missed the whole point of the gospel. If I miss becoming love, I miss why He shed His blood. Now you look at Scripture and see if that's not true. I am not a Christian to feel that. I'm not a Christian to survive. I'm not a Christian to have a healthy IRA sometime down the road and have enough to make it in this country. I'm a Christian to be locked in the face of life. I'm a Christian so when I walk to that airport tomorrow, nobody gets on my nerves. I have new, but I have nothing but love for people. I'm not trying to butt in line, I'm trying to get mine back in and get my room for theirs. I don't care if I sit in the middle seat. Somebody has to. Why can't it ever be me?
Come on.
Why? Because I have status. That might be a problem. I'm supposed to love my own life unto death. You think I can't sit by the pooper? Somebody has to. You'd be amazed what this country does to us and how spoiled people are that travel all the time. Men of God that preach can't sit in them. That's scary. Pay me to sit in them. You know what I do on purpose? I never select my seats on the computer. I let the computer sit in where I want. Excuse that. So last week on my flight, I had a little boy that was about 1.5 kicked back my seat 1,000 times. And he pulled my shutter up and down, probably 100 at least, and might have been more. Grandpa was freaking out trying to get him to knock it off, which he wanted discipline and teach and train, but he don't want to freak out on one. Which is still better to restrain to try to teach him, hey. But I had to believe him and say, hey, I know you want to teach you about, he's really little, but he's sensitive to his age. He ain't bothering me a bit, he don't have the power to. I got nothing but love for me to kick my seat 3,000. This is a little guy with yesterday, and I'm going to love him like Jesus loves him. I'm going to see every person in my brother. And I paid whatever for my chicken.
That's so good.
We're pretty thin-skinned if we're not careful. I was sitting there, God, you need to get in control of that little boy. I said, come on, come on, come on, come on,
come on, come
on, come
on, come on, I'd rather you get a little bigger on the inside. I pray for your balls to change or you're quitting.
Yeah, so good.
Come on.
Man.
I pray God balls will change you on that job so you can get a revelation. And never let you leave. I've asked for years, people will come in our congregation, Pastor, I'm moving to pray, things really move and happen with you. You can't agree with me that I can get a new job. It's so hard to work there. I am so tired of giving me that boss. And I am so tired of that heart beside this. Person and they just, oh, you have no idea. I feel like, oh, what did I do wrong? I feel like this is a character. I don't even like it. A Christian guy. I'm like, for real?
You hear me, preacher? Don't Jesus,
are you texting on Sundays again?
You hear me, preacher? You're asking me to pray.
No! No!
I pray God gives you a life sentence beside that one. Do you know how many people turn up and then pastors feel like they have to produce a product themselves and it never ends the lives? So then they go to church,
well, ain't the same in East, and this guy going down the street. Now, pastor seems a little different than he was 6 months ago. You know, I wish they'd only get a little worship leader. Oh, yeah, great, we like the other one. Let's go back out and look for another house. Worse yet, they go in and test the house.
Come on. Sit over on the side. Service ends at EDF.
That was not a loving church.
And I'm saying it should have been. You were there. See, through the false way, we got tricked into it. It's all about us and what we can get out of things and what serves us and what blesses us and what we can have instead of what we can become.
So good.
You are not a Christian. Get all the stuff from God and Christian become in. When you come to a great service like this, please don't get tricked into just coming for what God can do for you. Position your heart and say, Holy Spirit, I'm coming for how you can make me more like you. Glorify Him in my life, through my life, and let others know who Jesus is because you're in me.
No, it's so good.
Here's what Jesus said. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy is what you said and I said. He said, but I said to you. He's saying, you ain't saying what I'm saying. But I say to you, love one another. Pray for those who persecute you and give to those who despitefully use you. Why? so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven.
Mom.
See, it's not a confession. It's an expression. Mm. And he says, for what credit is it to you if you love those who are loving you? The tax collector doesn't pay his dues. Ain't that something? And I'm just walking from the heart. I'm going to push back the tears and play a card on you. You can tell it's there. I've seen way too many good people, sincere people, get hurt by these deceptions and live far below what they came to live for to live. They let things matter more than what matters most. And all the articles I saw, every speaker had an article, except for Mike, did his own. He just created his own article. Which is awesome. That's fine. But every speaker has an article, which I'm against. But I'm saying, you can't just keep running sanity and encounter if your yes doesn't agree with the truth. You've got to say, I'm ready to become love. I want to become. Nobody owes me a thing. If you come to a church to be loved, you're going to get hurt and disappointed. If you come to a church to love, you're going to add to the atmosphere, you're going to manifest Christ, and you'll never have a great time. It's that simple. So here's some hard about teaching and telling you to encourage you to do, and a response to this message, not an article, a personal response. You let the gospel teach you through prayer. Every morning you wake up, you let the gospel teach you. Nobody owes you a thing.
Man.
What if you got that revelation in your marriage instead of 50-50 and a lot of work? What if your marriage is just, I love you? What if it's your vow to them and not their vow to you?
Ooh, that's so good. Mm, excellent. That's excellent.
So when you stepped out of fellowship with God at some season in your life and failed to love Jesus, did he ever fail to love you? Wonder if Jesus had said, what? You're kidding me. We have not been. Father, you see that. You said Holy Spirit. You know that we've been. Holy Spirit did. You know did. He's bad. You need to pick them. They know exactly what you're doing. They're not for me. Now he's using the word against himself. They're not for me. They're against me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm hurt. Yeah, I can't believe that you shut your door and wait for them, and you're out there with some other lover. Man, let me minister to your son. See how weird that sounds? It don't sound weird when you believe it. Who ever read the Bible of Jesus when he was heading to Golgotha with the cross? And he was thinking about Barabbas, did you read it? And it finally got caught up to him analytically, and he dropped the cross. Did you read that? Well, that's not in your Bible. You guys are looking at me like that's not in your Bible. You didn't read that chapter? Where Jesus dropped the cross and said, and he's beating you up the scripture, he's totally innocent, did nothing wrong. And he finally just stopped and said, Father, look at me, look what they've done to me. When is enough enough? Are you kidding me? Barabbas? He kills the man, I raise the dead. He causes conspiracy, I bring peace. And they're going to release him and do this to me? I've had enough. Heal their sick, I've cleansed their lepers, I've fed their bellies, and I've spoke the truth openly. And this is what I get out of it. If they ain't changed by now, they ain't changing, and I ain't dying on no cross for nobody.
Wow.
Woo! Jesus. You say, well, he couldn't say that because he's Jesus. He couldn't say that because he's love. Oh,
so rich.
So if we talk like that,
so rich.
We didn't learn it from him. Because he didn't say that. He said, call no man or no one on the earth your teacher. You got one. And he's Christ. And if he didn't teach us what we're believing, thinking, feeling, then we didn't learn it from him. And it can't be the truth.
That's right.
Now, I've had people say to me, it challenged me a little bit. But when they do it in this way, it don't fly well. They say, well, Dan, you got to understand, God gave us emotions. We have emotions. We're supposed to just ignore our emotions. No, no, no. God didn't give you the emotions you grew up with. I don't give you those. Because they all function out of a self-centered wellspring. All your emotions are reactionary based on your motive in life. So when Jesus gives you new life and you deny yourself, you get a whole new realm of emotions. But the biggest lie I believe in the church in that degree is we think the way we've been is normal and we follow our experiences instead of following Him.
So good.
Whoever saw Jesus sitting down the Mount of Olives on a rock, moaning,
can't believe they would appreciate me. I mean, I'm trying to do good, Father. Why can't they see it? It doesn't have anybody today.
Come on, that's hurting pastors. I'm a firm believer. I've preached for 22 years. You don't have to burn out. You don't have to get offended. It's a lack of revelation that allows it to happen. On the night that Jesus was what?
Betrayed.
Last Supper. On the night Jesus was
betrayed.
On the night he was betrayed, I wonder why the Bible tells us that on purpose. To show us how he responded. You better make sure on the night you're betrayed, you're not crying asking for prayer.
Ooh. Wow.
Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway that you're alive to yourself and you're a Christian for your sin and shame. And you've been misled. You see, you're not evil. It's lack of understanding. Yeah. On the night he was betrayed, guess what he did? He took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body.
Oh my God.
He didn't say,
guys, I mean, I've been with you how much? I've poured my heart into you. We've been Peter, James, John. We've been on the mountain together. We've done so many things. John, get your head off.
You truly have to die. You don't owe me a thing, friend. At the time you owe me a thing, it's the time you give up what decides you. You never let sin against you. You sin when you overcome your life. You don't justify your life based on weakness and let your strength be the weakness around you. You don't say, why would you do it this way if they did? Well, they aren't Lord. Why are you letting them dominate you? You don't know what I have to do. You don't know what I have to do. You don't know what I have to do. I've heard it all. And I said, what's anything you're saying have to do with Jesus and Christ in you and your life surrendered and living by faith? Look, if you're letting one person decide who you are and your name isn't Jesus, you're deceived.
Right. So good.
You can't show me anything else in Scripture. It says, if you walk in love, your brother has no cause in stumbling, or cause to stumble your life. You won't be offended again. He said, if he loved us this way, are we not love one another this way? He said, Father, when they become one like you and I are one, that's when the world's going to know that you sent your son. I'm calling you to this. I'm going to call you to this and trust the Holy Spirit convicts you of this until he graciously molds you into.
Yes.
You say tonight, tonight is a starting point. I'm not running the risk of failure. I'm privileged to become. But I'm going to say yes in my heart. I'm going to say my days of offense, disheartenment, discouragement are ending because of this message. And I'm going to wrap this truth around my perspective. And I'm going to let it walk me through life. And when trouble comes, even if I slip here, I believe this word will come to my rescue and put me back on solid ground. But I'm done having seasons where I'm not productive. I'm done having seasons where I'm not encouraged. I'm done having seasons where I'm letting matter more what doesn't matter most. With me.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I need you to stand to your feet, please.
That's awesome. So good.
Now listen, I'm not asking you to run up here. I'm just asking you to be sincere, because here's the deal.
Awesome.
You've got to learn to live with you. Because only you know you. You've run the model all day long, but the fruit in your life reveals what you give yourself to. You know that by the fruit. So I'm encouraging you and inviting you to give yourself to Him tonight as a public expression. I ask you to stand in honor of Him. But what I want you to do sincerely when you pray He says, is there somebody here who can play keys?
Yes.
I just appreciate music. I appreciate gifting. I don't kind of have all the options. I don't need any of that, but I have a lot of people, so I tear it up, man. You know what I mean when I say loving on the keys? It's love, loving on the keys, right? So you and me, and then it's going to be plenty, all right? To become love, the number one way to become love is to want to. I know that sounds simple, but it's paramount. If I found out in small rooms, this isn't so small, but in small rooms, there's a whole handful of people in small rooms that really don't want to become love. They want to hold on to the rights they inherited through the fall. When you hold on to yourself and selfishness, you're holding on to what you were never created to be. You know, so suicide is so rampant and it's a concern. And you know what I'm saying? It's the biggest deception that a man can give himself to. Why? He's getting deceived into taking something that's not actually his. He's so gripped by the selfish lie that, hey, it's my life. It's my life. It never was, friend. It's his life in you. And you were created from the beginning to be found in him, found in you. So when a person gets deceived into taking their own life and actually cutting off his life in them, they question destiny. And it's a total act of self-centered deception. You tonight have settled in your heart. Now you think about this. All these messages we've heard, the times you've been up here, I've watched you sincere. You guys, you're sincere. I'm not talking to hypocrites. Why don't you take this one little component to see what God does with it?
Yes.
Add it to everything that's been done.
Amen. So good.
And be the steward of your own heart. Be gracious to your own conscience. And apart from any other current factor in your life, decide tonight, I want to become love and I'm going to start growing in this truth. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to work that revelation. And don't let anything change your want to. Don't let anything change your want to. You may not understand some of the stories behind my life and why I'm so passionate about this stuff. Because I was pastored full time. My wife went into identity crisis. She's precious, my wife. I'm not exploiting her. I'm not saying she's weak, lame. My wife, you would want her to pray for you. She's compassionate. She's wonderful. My wife is probably as sensitive and loving as anybody I know. It's not just my wife. There was a season in her life she was believing a lie. And she believed that people acknowledged her because she was my wife. And she believed that they didn't really care about her, they cared about me, and she was along for the ride, so they had to say hi to her because she's with me. And it was just a good way to trust your identity. My children were partaking in some of this stuff and weakness stuff, seeing it and starts influencing, and they're young, and they got to get their own revelation. Mike said today, you all have to have your own revelation. You all have to have your own love. My children need to have their own. I sit down and say, listen, you can't write the faith of your daddy, but you can let it inspire you to your own revelation in life and get to know him. You don't have to be Jesus, you get to know him.
Yeah.
But my son, he said, well, I'm that one in this family, and I'm that, and he's my dad, because everybody expects me to be like him, and everybody's watching my life. I feel so pressured. There's some control, and I'm going to have to be Jesus because I'm his son. And here's the thing. I wasn't a hypocrite dad. I wasn't a church preacher going home and slamming it. I would suggest you'd be so excited to get your kids to church and say, my kids are going to church and they failed with a flashlight and sit home.
Yes.
And take responsibility for weakness and show them repentance or something. Because if all you do is take the kids to church and go with Christ like this, you're teaching your kids by your life that church attendance is Christianity.
All right. So good.
So our story was a little different. We weren't mad at it, the critical dad. It was lies, identity crisis, and Satan was coming to try to stop the kid. Here's the deal. When my daughter makes a decision in her late teens, to go pursue her feelings and emotions and put the gospel on the shelf for a season. And my son decides to do things behind her back and live a life that he was never called to. And my wife doesn't even want to live, no value, or won't even come to church with him.
Mm.
That's when you understand what you understand.
Yeah.
So the passion you see in these is because I walked through all this. And wasn't I heard nothing. And wasn't hurting that. And I didn't need to call Carlos and say, "You're overwhelmed with me, brother. Pray that she'll change soon. I can't go much farther. I want you to man there. I already got enough of my plate. I'm just so much pain. Now she's making it harder. Oh, I need her to walk with me. I mean, if you don't agree, then we're..." The revelation I'm teaching you has become lost. Before this ever happened, it was already established. So when my wife went off the deep end of a lie, she doesn't owe me a thing. And I owe her nothing but love. When my kids make decisions, I'm not finding my identity through my children. I'm not saying, "Well, they're making me look bad. Well, I must have done a bad job parenting." No. It's called man has a will.
Wow.
You better get your revelation of Jesus or your own will will eat you up.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you fail as a parent because your child got wayward. It could, but it doesn't mean it necessarily.
That's right.
And parents, you don't find your identity through your children. You find your identity in Jesus so you can properly parent your children. So there's so much control and manipulation in your identity, but it's all of a sudden you're small on your kids because they're making you look bad and you're trying to whip them into this. It's a good way to put rebellion in their heart. So I walked through all this. And it was like I was a single man at times that had no children that was married to. And I didn't know how to hurt. Doesn't talk you how to love. So you can't talk me out of it. You can't say, "Yeah, brother, that had to be painful." You're not going to talk me out of it with everybody's experience. I'm born again. I put off the old.
That's so good.
And I put on the new.
Rich.
And I put to death
so rich.
What I was, so who he is could live in me. So here's the simple point of my perspective. Would you agree that in that situation, my wife, my children, are in one of the toughest times?
Sure.
And that they absolutely need Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, guess where he lives? In me. So now's not the time to be a frustrated husband and a betrayed dad. Now it's time to be like him.
Oof, wow.
When your wife goes into a coma, starves oxygen to her brain, and is on life support with severe brain damage, you're not relieved as you're ticket out of here because she's dead weight and she won't change in 6 years. It's a long time. It's how long she was in this thing. Time and truth.
Man.
Truth doesn't know time. 6 years isn't long. The heaven and earth will fade away, and my word will remain.
Woo!
Watch God get her out of that thing. And then she looks at you and says, "You have always been you to let me go." And all of a sudden, the lie was broken.
Jesus.
And she realized that what she was believing was true. It had been easy for me to let her go. But I don't know how to let her go. She is destined. Then one day after a long time of not seeing my son, he knocks on the door. No talk, he's writing rap music, and in his lyrics, "It's better if I'm dead so he can live his dream." You better not get hurt by that. He's just going through a lot of dark seasons. Do you understand on your darkest day, God saw who he created you to be and love never failed? God didn't stereotype you based on your bad day. He already had you marked based on what he created man to be. So when he knocks on the door, it's a good thing to look out your door and not say, "What the blank are you doing here?" You just want to show up after all this time, when you got your back against the wall, out of money, in trouble. You didn't know what you've done to the heart of your mother. Boom! I'll tell you what's fun. What's fun is having the Spirit of God inside of you. And when you're not looking, knowing that nobody owes me a thing. and knowing I'm not some mad, disciplined dad and husband Christian that needs prayer. I've got the Spirit of the living God inside me. And you go, hey buddy, my goodness, it's good to see you. Man, you're not okay, are you?
Oh, Dad, can I come in?
Well, of course you can come in.
Dad,
come here. I looked him in the eyes. I said, son, he said, I don't know where to start. I said, let me start. He said, do you understand that I'm not mad at you, disappointed, and discouraged? He said, I don't see how that's possible. After all I've done, that can't even be possible. I smiled and said, I don't see how you think it can be. You owe me nothing. And Jesus made me this way. How can you think it's any other way? He got so wrecked by the way he got loved, he told his mother it was the turning point of transformation in his life. Not to preach yet, to love. It's the goodness of God that leads men to change. And nobody loves him first.
Right.
Except they see his first love. His love's not to be a mystery. It's not to be a mystery.
He loves him. I sure hope he does.
He didn't love you, so he keep living the same. And he needs to keep saying, it's okay, I love you. He loves you to call you out of darkness into the light. He said, I'm not going to let where you've been decide who you are. I'm going to let what I created you. He said, well, that, I'm going to pull you out of the same position you for destiny. And that's what I did with my son. And it changed his life. And he told Mom, I've never been tangibly loved like that in my life. It was overriding. Because in his mind, he failed me. And in his mind, I had to be destroyed. And in my mind, I don't know how it can be. I didn't wake up for my son to serve me. I woke up to be like Jesus. So when I answer the door, guess who I'm going to be like? That's why I can stand in front of you with a microphone and speak so bold. Because one day we'll stand before the Lord and we'll all be in the open. I am not here to impress you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm impressed.
Amen.
With this gospel.
Yeah.
And I ask you to stand as a statement that we're going to live this life. You with me?
Yes.
You're going to open your heart to him?
Yes.
I'm not calling you up here. You're on this rock head. She needs to learn to live with
your heart.
She needs to learn to live unveiled. You need to learn to live and know that even if you make a mistake, your heart wasn't to miss it. Your heart's to make it, so run to him and never run from him. But don't use his grace as a reason to fail. Use his grace as a reason to become.
Yes.
You're not running the risk of failing tonight by making this commitment. You're privileged to become. And I'm trusting that this message will keep you convicted and in the know. And if you find yourself in any other vein, you'll be directed right back to truth. But that's your place to be accountable and steward of your own conscience. You follow me? That's your place. Every man has to work out his own salvation with a reverence and awe toward God. With me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's a question I need to ask your heart. You don't have to ask me out loud. Answer God in your heart when he knows your answer. Don't give him the right answer. Give him the sincere answer. See what I'm saying? Here's my question. After hearing this message, are you willing to put off what you inherited through Adam, that self-centered line? Are you willing to step out in faith and begin to learn what it means to really deny yourself and know that no one knows you within? And I shall believe that this truth can become a strong power in your life, and your heart doesn't need to be broken, and you don't need to be discouraged, and you don't really need to be disappointed like you believe we all have to be. So what I'm asking you to do, you be willing to put off the old and put on the new, and say, I'm willing to become love.
Yes.
I'm sincere, yes. If that's you do that for the Lord right now. Because he knows. We're not playing games. He knows. We're not playing church. We're not doing church. We're before the Lord. If Mike was here, he'd say, he is. So answer him right now. And if you're yes, that's amazing. if your yes is no, just trust me. Believe that God will convince you otherwise. You'll work in the heart because you're here tonight. I'm so encouraged that you did this because the kingdom of God is a man's scattered seed. So I didn't give you my God's scattered seed. And I fly home and I trust something to God.
Amen.
So right now, I'm going to pray with you guys. And I want you to settle in your heart if you have a sincere yes. Settle right now, God. I want to become the high. I want to lay down chips and lines for people crossing out. I don't want to fight. I want to make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, sons of God. It's not a confession, it's an expression. I want to have mercy, triumph over judgment. I'm not paying evil for evil. And I'm not going to let where somebody's not determine where I am. I'm going to let you decide my life from now on. So, Holy Spirit, help me. That's all I'm asking you to start believing right now in a simple way. And then every day you wake up, you reinforce that. Wow, my life's not my own today. God, what a privilege to be alive in you. Thank you that nobody owes me a thing today. That I've laid down my life to love. So Father, I pray for grace over this house, and I pray that all these messages culminated together bring out one great revelation and expression in your people called Christ.
Yeah.
That the Christ in us will be the hope of glory, and that the nations would know you because we walk with you. That our love be sincere without hypocrisy, like the Bible says. And that men's lives be sown into by the genuineness of who you are. I ask you right now, from the simple perspective, as people stand before you by faith, some just raw faith say, yes, I want to become love. As soon as they say yes, God, as soon as they're sincere, I just ask that you would resolve things in their life. That they no longer be insecure or self-conscious. You do an immediate work. I'm asking for an immediate work right now just because of perspective change. You've always taught me if you change what a man sees, you'll change what a man becomes. So I thank you that seeing different is change already. So I'm trusting you, Father, for grace in their lives right now. That no one would leave her hurt, frustrated, disgusted with another person. That they would have compassion in their heart. That they wouldn't be crying because of a person. They'd be crying for others. I'm asking you to make that switch. You flip that thing. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to increase our understanding and empower us to run this message. I just got one little crack, Lord. You know that. I got one little, like an hour or something. And I'm asking you to pick up right here and begin to work this truth in our lives till there's fruit all over every tree. Let us run well. And if I ever see any one of these again, then let them be filled with the Spirit of God and the joy of the Lord. And make sure, God, that their life matters so much. Truly make it as fruitful as possible. And we're going to enjoy every moment because you love us. Lift your hands with me, would you? Because you love us. My circumstances will never challenge your love. Your love is settled. Christ was crucified. And your love never failed. On my darkest day, you knew who I was. When I didn't want you, you were drawing me. It's amazing. It's not that you wink at sin and have the strange ability to get over us. You know who you made us to be. And you paid a price to restore that truth. Let that truth be the revelation and expression of every person's life in this room. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, if I want to preach to folks, would you let me preach it in a way that when I'm finished, personally, has two choices. You say, well, why two? Why not one? Because you do have a will. And God allows you. You're not a robot. He doesn't have a remote with your name on it.
Huh.
He like pushes it and goes. Two choices. When I'm done preaching, I say, Lord, let the man just have two choices or one. Wow, I hear what you're saying. And I want that. Or, wow, I hear what you're saying. I just don't want it. That would be the love of God, wouldn't it?
That's right.
To hold every heart accountable. Because honestly, I don't talk in riddles and I don't talk in parables. I don't think you couldn't hear what I said. And here's the thing about this. You've got to live this thing out by faith apart from any other factor in your life. And you've got to answer this question. Not what is everybody else doing with him. What am I doing with this Jesus in my life? You get it?
Yes.
That'll keep you sincere. That'll keep you running well.
Amen.
Now we'll show that the people around us get a good look at who he is. Amen?
Amen.